Okay, we're live now on Podomatic and Sprecher. Charles Moskowitz here, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time, where we do this live program. I'm on a little early tonight only because I'm not going to do the whole show tonight. My guest had to postpone till early next week, and I just, I'm kind of getting my feet wet on this late hour, so I'm feeling a little tired. I'm not going to stay on, but I'm going to briefly come on just to discuss a couple of quick issues and also to mention that you can call in on the program if you'd like. 617-396-5098 is the number. 617.
Recording in progress.
Thank you. 617-396-4958. Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining me, everyone. The flagship station is Rumble. Charles Moskowitz Live, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight, Eastern Standard Time. I want to thank Hal Shurtleff for joining me last night, Camp Constitution. I've got a bunch of shows lined up. I'm only doing a very abbreviated version tonight, namely because my guest canceled and I'm still kind of getting used to the timing of this. And I'm a little tired right now, so I'm going to just stay on briefly. And perhaps take a call if you'd like to call in. You're welcome to do that. Or you can do a here we go. Here's my opening music. And you're certainly welcome to join me on Rumble with commentary. We've got a chat line on Rumble that
and
is.
And you're certainly welcome to just, join me on Rumble with commentary. We've got a chat line.
See, you know, I have to get the technology here. Okay, so getting back to my premise here, the program Charles Moskowitz Live is Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight, two full hours, Eastern Standard Time, where I take calls, I hear chats, I interview guests, and I do all of the things that I've been planning on doing and have wanted to do for quite a while now. But I felt a bit stymied in terms of the massive increase in censorship. I am no longer broadcasting live on my YouTube channel because YouTube is giving me strikes and warnings. They're taking down videos. I've had people tell me that they've applied to me on YouTube, and then the application is pulled off. Well, they've subscribed and then it disappears, and other same such strange goings on over there. So YouTube is not amicable to free speech right now. And thus, I have done what a lot of hosts are doing, including Howie Carr of WRKO, and that is that I have moved to Rumble as the primary site of the program. I've also set up a website, which 2 days after it established, somehow was hacked, but it's now back up and running today. It cost me a little bit of time and money, but I got it up and running. The website is Charles Moskowitz Live, and on that website, you can see my blog, my listen live chat, look at my books, which are my sponsors. I sponsor myself with my books. And also, I have a long list of live streams that accept the show, including Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitch, VK, Twitter, YouNow, Trovo, DLive, Podomatic, and Picardo, all of which live stream the program, all of which I'm hoping to reach out to as a way to reach the audience that generally goes to those sites, as a way to really build this incredible online community where we can be live together, where we can engage in real, good, solid, free conversation, obviously within the context of community standards as they are conventionally defined, not censorship. And as I get into this thing, I'm really looking forward to doing it. So please, subscribe to me on Rumble and let's have some fun, you know. Let's get into some real talk. Let's find out what we're thinking, and let's articulate that. After all, the very thing that makes man separate from all other living beings, the thing that makes us sentient beings, the reason we are created in the image of God. And we should note that the book of Genesis does say men and women, man and woman, is created in the image of God, is because we can communicate, we can talk, we can reach outside of ourselves and express ourselves. And as such, our ability to communicate, our ability to use language, is a reflection of our ability to think, to imagine, to integrate ideas, to philosophize, to understand the nature of the universe to a very high degree, and to use reason. I mean, it's really, man became man. God breathed a soul into Adam. When Adam developed the ability to reason, there is no separation, thus, between faith and reason. You know, this is one of these canards that creeped into the thinking as a negative byproduct of the age of reason, which was mostly a very good and positive thing. So anyway, let me give out the number. I want to take calls briefly. I'm not going to stay on long, but if you'd like to call in, you can do that at 617-396-4958, 617-396-4958. And also you can chat with me at Rumble by going to the Rumble site, which is Charles Moskowitz Live at Rumble. You can get to it from the website, Charles Moskowitz Live. Jonathan Greenblatt, the director of the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, has released a new book. It's called It Could Happen Here, Why America is Tipping from Hate to the Unthinkable and How We Can Stop It. And look, I support much of what is in this book. He does a very good job of identifying anti-Semitism, and he doesn't so much get into the roots of anti-Semitism, but he does talk about how it's manifesting in our society. Where I think he goes completely off the rails, and in an issue that I really think it's damaging to the Jewish community that I love and to the Jewish people, and where it's an insult to large and growing numbers of Jews, is his partisan insistence that Donald Trump, by so many words, is anti-Semitic and is a demagogue, and he's given cover to extremists. These are lies. These are lies that have to be called out. It's a terrible mistake. It's ridiculous. Donald Trump is not an anti-Semite. He's not an extremist. This is something that, you know, the left wing and the establishment, if you will, is really ramping this up at this point. They're obsessed with it. They're obsessed with Trump. And the way they do that now, and it's not even all that sophisticated, is through this canard of complaining about the way they frame the alleged events of January 6th. I just was watching Channel 2, and they're complaining about conservatives view this as having been a mostly peaceful rally, which of course it was, and that, you know, they're trying to cover up for Trump. And it's all this innuendo that somehow Trump was involved in this, which is ridiculous. And that it was anti-Semitic, which is ridiculous as well. And I don't know if it's because this is all they have to go on as they enter into a midterm election where they're going to have their clock cleaned. You know, maybe I know they're trying to pass a law which will codify vote stealing nationally. And I'm not sure they're going to get away with that. It's very sinister, very dangerous. We have to stop that. We have to let people know that the Constitution and our American traditions hold that the states control elections and election policy, not the federal government. if there's one thing we learned from this last election and the steal, if whether you believe it was stolen or not, and I do believe it was, but whether you think that or not, we saw the phenomena of governors and state courts and state, particularly state secretaries of state, who won their elections and kind of came in through the back door with help from George Soros and groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they began to tinker with election law in 2020. They began to make little shifts and little changes without the consent of or the authority of the state legislators. And they did this as a way to help steal the election. Whether they did that deliberately or not, that is the sum effect of what they did. I personally believe, and I think evidence suggests, that they did do this consciously to steal the election. They were determined, come hook or crook, to stop Trump. After all, if they agree with Jonathan Greenblatt, then Trump was a demagogue and an anti-Semite. They probably actually believe that. And so they set it upon themselves to stop Trump. And we learned that after the fact, unfortunately, but we learned that state legislators hold the sole plenary power to make election laws, because state senators and state representatives are elected by the people of those states. That is democracy. You know, the left loves to talk about democracy. Well, democracy is electing a state rep and a state senate in your state to regulate your election, so that we can have a say in how our elections are conducted. Now, if they run afoul of the 14th Amendment, all right, then it becomes a federal issue. But setting the date of the election, setting the policy around verification and chain of custody for absentee ballots, and all of these other things, that's not a violation of a federal law. That is and has always been the purview of the states. And Article 2 of the Constitution codifies that. This new law by the U.S., the liberals and people, you know, Charles Schumer and them, they want to take that power away from the states and give it to the federal government, where they're going to allow for all of the practices that have been condemned by both sides going back decades and that do lead to fraud. According to most sources, I would specifically cite the Carter-Baker Commission, a Blue Ribbon, Ribbon Committee that investigated this issue back in the 1990s, that was conducted by the Carter Library, Jimmy Carter Library in Atlanta, Georgia. And the committee was co-chaired by former President Jimmy Carter and former Secretary of State James Baker, a Democrat and a Republican. And their conclusion was that absentee ballots are potentially vehicles for voter fraud. Okay, so that's not me saying this. This national bill would codify this so that people can vote any way they want practically. There will be no chain of custody, which is to say that there will be no way by which local clerks can determine the origin of a vote through ID or through any other method. I mean, in Michigan, the method was signature. The signature would have to match. And the Secretary of State over there, this very leftist Secretary of State, very corrupt, Jocelyn Benson, she just changed that law. And she said, oh, you don't have to look at the signature. You can just, doesn't matter. You know, you a squiggle on the page, you know, picture of Mickey Mouse, that's fine. You have to let it go through. And that was in violation of the state legislature. A judge eventually, a state judge stepped in and put a stop to that. But of course, that was 6 months after the election. It was too late. So we, getting back to the subject at hand, Jonathan Greenblatt is, attacking Trump, and he's attacking those events of January 6th. I went over this yesterday. I went over it Monday. I'm not going to go too deeply into that other than to say that that whole narrative is unraveling. And, you know, you have more and more evidence coming out that it was led by FBI agents, the same people that led the Whitmer kidnapping. You know, and even as far back as the first World Trade Center attack, you had the FBI getting involved in these sorts of activities. It wasn't as much to infiltrate bad groups, which is something that they've done since day one. And at least back in the day of J. Edgar Hoover, even though I don't, you know, I think that there's a lot of corruption there and I'm not a big fan, nevertheless, at least he did go after some enemies of America, like the Ku Klux Klan, like the Communist Party, like the Mafia, right? He infiltrated them with agents. That's how they do it. But now they're infiltrating groups to manipulate them to do things for political purposes that help liberal Democrats. This has been the case since FBI director, or this really corrupt FBI director by the name of Robert Mueller, you might have heard of him, who covered up the Boston Marathon attack and other crimes. And then his successor, James Comey, and now his successor, Christopher Wray, they seem to be involved in manipulating things for the Democratic Party and for political reasons. You know, and I think in the case of Comey, it was himself doing it. These other guys, they might have like a level of deniability. But we know from the Durham investigation, Special Counsel Durham, that already there have been, I think, two, if not three indictments and one conviction of people who were tampering with the Trump campaign when Donald Trump was running for president to try to damage Trump and to try to take him out. We've seen the emails between Peter Strzok, who was a high-level FBI agent in that administration, and who, you know, was involved in basically subversive activity against a citizen who was running for president of the United States. Anyway, check out revolver.com and check out the work of Darren Beatty, who is a reporter over there, and some others. And you'll see that they're uncovering a great deal of evidence indicating that the people that were heavily involved in those events of breaching the U.S. Capitol were FBI agents, FBI assets, and that the Capitol Police was cooperating with them. There's more evidence coming out, and yet it's almost like we have a two-tiered system. We have like two things going on. We have got two realities almost, in that the left wing is continuing with this narrative that this was an insurrection, you know, and that it was done by Trump supporters and that Donald Trump knew about it and supported it. Complete lie. You know, it was mainly, you know, peaceful protests trying to support the U.S. Congress and the seven states that were contesting their election. Now, I went over this yesterday. I'm not going to go over it again. You'll listen to yesterday's program if you like. You can listen to other programs that I have archived on Rumble. I will continue to get into this issue as I have guests on coming up. And that is what happened that day in the U.S. Congress was completely constitutional and appropriate. We finally were going to get to hear the evidence, whether there was or it was or was not, that the election was stolen, and that that was stopped by the incursion. Who gained by that? Not Trump. And now, of course, they're trying to impeach Trump again with this phony, baloney monkey trial that they're having. I'll just end that by saying that I was watching Channel 2. I think it was whatever, you know, PBS. And they're making this January 6th anniversary like it's, you know, you think this has become a religious holiday for them. And they're trotting out policemen who are traumatized by these events. Really? I mean, were they traumatized when Antifa and Black Lives Matter were looting Black businesses and burning down Black neighborhoods in the summer of 2020 and pigs in a blanket, you know, burn them like bacon and black, you know, all of that. And three policemen, I think, in New York City being shot dead while they were sitting in their squad car by a BLM supporter. Were they traumatized by that? Has anyone done any? Did anybody care about the police? All of a sudden, they care so much about our law enforcement. Oh, yes. Yeah, these are us. You know, this is public servants all of a sudden, you know, because it fits this agenda. Anyway, getting back to, I'm rambling here. Why not? Before I sign off, let me just briefly again give out the phone number. You're welcome to call in. 617-396-4958. 617-396-4958. You can pick up on what we're talking about here or discuss any issue you'd like to discuss within the bounds of community standards. Jonathan Greenblatt's book, he viciously attacks Donald Trump, and that's terrible for the Jewish people. I mean, it's wrong because growing numbers of Jews are supporters of Trump. And the idea that Trump was anti-Semitic, that's ridiculous. It's just absurd. First of all, his daughter's a Jew and son-in-law and grandchildren. Secondly, he was the author of the Abraham Accords, which brought peace between the state of Israel and I think it was four or five Arab states and Muslim states. I think it was Arab states particularly. Thirdly, he located the American embassy to Jerusalem, something that both Democratic and Republican administrations had talked about doing in the past and that Congress had authorized but never did it. I mean, this is just, if he's so anti-Semitic, why is he so popular in the state of Israel then, really? I mean, I have a friend, I mean, this is anecdotal, okay, I admit. He just got back from Israel, and he was telling me about how popular Trump is. There are Trump signs. There are people who, they miss Trump. You know, now you have, of course, this illegitimate administration that's pushing to help Iran, you know, break the boycott so they can build nuclear weapons. It would never happen under Trump. None of these things would happen. Afghanistan wouldn't have collapsed under Trump. I mean, the world is a much more dangerous place today for Americans and for freedom and for Jews and for Israel and for the West because of this weak regime, because they know they could walk all over it. And, you know, this idea of having a significant Jewish figure like Jonathan Greenblatt, the head of the ADL, come out with this broadside against Trump, and calling him a demagogue, really? I don't know about that. I think of a demagogue, when I think of a demagogue in this country, I think more of Barack Obama, frankly. I mean, women were fainting. It was almost like he would stage these rallies where, you know, it was like the Nazis with strobe lights and, you know, music and sounds. I mean, the Nazis were very skilled at this. And, you know, and there was this cult worship where women were fainting and passing out. And, you know, people were, you know, and this is, again, anecdotal, but I have to say that even now, if you go to many liberal households, and I've been to a few here in Boston, including relatives, you see little shrines that are there for Obama. You know, nice pictures of him and often with his wife and children, you know, as little decals on the refrigerator door, you know, little magnets or cups with their picture on them, coffee cups strategically hoisted up on a shelf. I can't tell you the number of times I've seen this. That's a shrine. I mean, this is like a worship, and this is idolizing and idealizing what was, frankly, at best, a relatively mediocre administration. It could have been worse, but, you know, I mean, this worshipful nature, and to think that Obama and the people, the Democrats, don't foster that, they always do. They need a demagogue. They need a great leader. That's what they're all about. That's what Hitler was about. That's what Stalin was about. Now, I'm not saying the Democrats and the liberals are Nazis or communists, but they do have that tendency that is not there amongst conservatives. We admired Ronald Reagan, but in a very critical way. we admired Donald Trump, and maybe we circled the wagons a little, given the amount of vicious attack that he had to undergo, which is more than the typical attack that conservatives have to deal with in this country and in this world, quite frankly. So yes, we might have circled the wagons around a little to try to protect him. But, you know, we weren't deluded into thinking that he was anything but who he was. I mean, we don't worship, you know, like the left does. That's a leftist thing. And for him to now come across, how is Trump a demagogue? I mean, it's ridiculous. How is he a fascist? He was a conservative president, left-right-leaning president, who basically governed using a classic American federalist style. You know, I remember there was demagogues on the left during the height of the pandemic back in 2000, people like Bill de Blasio and Cuomo and others screaming that Trump needed to bring in the army, right, to enforce lockdowns. They needed to have martial law. We heard a lot of that kind of talk. That's not what Trump did. Trump behaved as a conservative libertarian, in that he basically said that the federal government would lend assistance to states and that the states would make their policies as they saw fit. And the states did that. Some states were more tougher than others when it came to things like lockdown. I don't think any of it was necessary. And I would point to Sweden as an example of that, because they did none of it. And they didn't have any more or less COVID cases than we did. In fact, I think they had a little less. And I would point to states that did do some of this stuff, like New York and other of the blue states, basically putting COVID-19 active people in nursing homes. I mean, that's genocidal. That's insane. So, you know, the lockdowns didn't work. Anyway, I don't want to go into that too much. I know that now that I'm on Rumble, I can talk a little more freely about that. But suffice to say that Trump was not demagogic at all. He was moderate. He was measured. He worked to try to, you know, help when he could as a federal leader. And he allowed the states to make their own policies within the context of the Constitution, which maybe they went above it and they're still going above it. They're not letting go. But there it was. So I challenged Jonathan Greenblatt to join me on this program. I've sent him a note. I highly doubt if he will. But you never know. You never know. Anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. I want to thank you all for watching. Please, my sponsor is my books. Please check them out. They're available at Amazon Books under Charles Moskowitz, or you could go to my website, charlesmoskowitz.com, and can order them there. I'm going to hold one of them up briefly here. This is one of my latest books, The Satanic Conspiracy, The Specter Haunting Mankind. So if you want to support the program, I don't ask for donations. I don't ask for money. I wouldn't know what to do with it if you sent it. Don't send money, please. All, you know, and I don't have sponsors, so the way I sponsor the program is I make my books available. They're not expensive, and you can get something of value if you order a book. You can get the research I've done on a broad cross-section of issues, political, financial, and spiritual. So check it out on my website, charlesmoskowitz.com. Check out the show on Rumble. Please subscribe on Rumble. And keep on keeping on. I hope to build an audience here so we can really have a great live experience. I'm very dedicated to this every evening, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight. I know I'm leaving early today, but when I have a guest, I'll be on a roll here. Plus, if I get momentum with some callers and some texters and some chat people, then we'll really have fun, okay? Then we can really start to roll and rock. Anyway, again, thank you for joining me, everyone. God bless you all. Happy New Year. God bless America.